Aaron Jeffrey, the father and son team of Jeff Benward and his son Aaron, taking us through the entire Bible. Wow, from Genesis to Revelation with the wonderful song He Is here on the WIB Wake Up Show on WWIB. So we start the best 5 minutes of the day, which Jason can's fitting because we're taking people through the Bible with Larry Crabb's 66 love letters. And Ben, takes a while to get through those minor prophets, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I was thinking the same thing when you said that they're taking people through the entire Bible. That's a good project to do, and grateful for them and for Larry doing it for us.
I got to remind myself each day which love letter we're on. We're on love letter 31 already, Obadiah.
So wow.
Almost halfway through.
Yeah, I'm impressed that we've made it this far, I have to say.
Well, you know, it's one of those... That's, you're not saying anything about me, but I understand...
I am not.
It's one of those things we did start like for a couple of days and then we got it off and then it stayed on my mind. And so I'm glad to. And to whatever extent people are conscious on the other side of what's, do you think about that at all? Like when you pay attention, I saw Jason Gray back yesterday about 8:45. We're just 8 days away from our absolutely free Jason Gray 50th anniversary concert coming up at Riverfront Park in Chippewa Falls. And he had talked about Frederick Buechner. He had posted something, a clip on Facebook of Frederick Buechner, and said how much he influenced his song, More Like Falling in Love. And so it was good, and we played the clip. But do you ever think about that in terms of, wow, I wonder if Brendan Manning on this side, you know, be able to visit with him in heaven and go, hey, I played your clip for years on the radio. So,
yeah, definitely. It's always those sorts of, questions about what will that look like for us, you know, and you know, certainly one of my big influences was C.S. Lewis's Great Divorce, which is kind of an envisioning of kind of the boundaries of heaven. Mm-hmm. And so I wonder that as well.
We don't know on this side, but
right.
In recent days, in recent months, I think I've kind of gone, you know, I've known that this is a fallen world, it's not heaven. It feels only heightened so these days, you know it?
Right, absolutely. Absolutely. Increased division and increased hatred and all sorts of things.
Yeah, and probably in heaven, you know, we're not going to get... you almost think of heaven on earth like Hawaii is kind of close to it. And when you see tragic fires like that, right? You go, wow.
Right.
This is just a crazy world.
Yeah, absolutely. Suffering can touch even there.
Mm-hmm. All right. Hey, we've got Love Letter 31, Larry Crabb's 66 Love Letters. 31 is, I like what he says with this, Obadiah, celebrate, I will defeat evil. And then we turn to the epilogue, because he's got the Bible in, he calls it the story everyone needs to hear. It's the Bible in 66 paragraphs, and I'm a big fan. I've got this completely bracketed, partially underlined and starred. So here you go. It's easy to focus on how others need to change more than you and to think you're honoring my justice when you hold them accountable. Yeah, that first part was really true, huh? I will take care of all that's wrong in others. I'm going to repeat that. I will take care of all that's wrong in others. Make it your priority to concern yourself with what's wrong in you. Isn't that good?
It's really good. Yeah, I think that's, you know, I think too often we get into the mindset of confronting the brokenness and sin out there, we do that without really addressing our own disintegration or lack of wholeness, and I think we need to start there.
Amen. Amen to that. And so we're going to close it out. Again, let me just recommend Larry's book, The 66 Love Letters, or the audio book. It's fantastic. This imagined conversation with God through all 66 books of the Bible. Took him 5 years to write. Get your copy. Finally, Galatians 6:1 today.
Yeah, it says, dear brothers and sisters, if another believer is overcome by some sin, you who are godly should gently and humbly help that person back onto the right path. And be careful not to fall into the same temptation yourself.
And in Jason's devotional commentary, Letters to the Beloved, he tackles that one verse with this paragraph. In this world, you still see the effects of the fall. Believers will fall prey to sinful temptation. When you see others acting in self-centeredness, point them back to the way of love. It is only those who have been overwhelmed by my graciousness who possess the heavenly vision to be able to aid others with gentleness and humility. Pay attention to your soul, too, because both lawlessness and legalism would still like to trap you.
Hmm. Yeah, I think that ties into what we were just talking about, right? I mean, it's, there's brokenness out in the world, and we also are at risk for this lawlessness, legalism, sinfulness, and whether it's out there in the world or within ourselves, trying to live on the path of love is, I think, our high and holy calling.
That is a great way to go into the weekend. Breakfast tomorrow?
We'll see you there.
Sounds good. There we go. Everybody's invited. Randy, 7 o'clock. Be there. Be square. The Whip Wake Up Show on a Friday morning. WWIB. Mark and Caleb here together this morning. And headline, women wear just 25% of their shoes. Could that be true?
Feedback Friday here, yeah. Ladies. 715-396-1670. 715-396-1670. The Whip Listener Line. Is that true? Do you wear just 25% of your shoes? The average woman, according to this, owns 20 pairs of shoes, but only wears 5 of them, according to this survey.
Yeah, 90% of women, 9 out of 10, say that they have a pair that they've never left the closet.
9 out of 10 women say they have a pair of shoes they have never worn.
Right.
Is that true? Ladies, let us know. 715-396-1670. Is this true?
Now,
I mean, and again, I'm not necessarily a shoe person, but I tend to wear my shoes all the way until they start getting holes in them, at which point they become mowing shoes.
Yeah.
But
it's kind of one of those things where, I mean, it's just kind of a stereotype in terms of just in general, in terms of women and their shoes and shoes for every occasion. And I guess, I don't know if it's an age thing, but I'm looking up Imelda Marcos because she was kind of newsworthy or noteworthy back in the day in terms of her number of pairs of shoes. But speaking on my wife's behalf, and I'll try to message her and get her input, but I mean, I think that Peggy wears more than 25, percent of her shoes.
Yeah, I mean, and again, these are just averages too, so I don't know where the data is coming from. My wife doesn't have anywhere close to 20 pairs of shoes. Not that there's anything wrong with that. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that if shoes is your thing, but no, she just has a few pairs and I think wears them all. But here are the top reasons, though, that some shoes never leave the box, according to the survey. Too uncomfortable is number one. Bottom, maybe thought they looked good, but not comfy.
Another reason that maybe the ladies don't wear their shoes is they have an impractical heel.
Sure, I can understand that. They don't match any outfits. Another reason that shoes just stay in the box, don't get worn.
Another reason might be too expensive to damage.
Okay,
it's kind of like, you know, the dishes. Like, these are so nice, just leave them.
Yeah, and it's like, hey, if an event ever presents itself where I would like to wear this expensive shoe, but until it does, it's going to stay in the box. How about this one? They were an unwanted gift. So someone gifted the shoes, and you're like, nah, I don't really like those, but what can you do now? Didn't have a gift receipt with them, and so those stay in the closet. Understand that as well. But again, the headline here, the average woman owns 20 pairs of shoes but only wears 5 of those pairs. We are curious, ladies. Is that true?
Yeah, and in fact, doing a little research, Imelda Marcos shoes, and this was the big story back in the day. Yeah, she had 3,000 pairs of shoes. So it'd be hard to wear. It would take you years to wear all those.
It's a lot. Well, it's 747, 57 degrees. We try to keep you caught up in the know on things here on the Whip Wake Up Show. It's our weekly tradition. Everything that maybe you missed because you're so busy, everything you might have missed in news and sports and politics and pop culture, we do the hard work, the intensive labor of aggregating all of that for you, and we bring it to you in a condensed nutshell fashion here on the Whip Wake Up Show. We call it Headlines, and here we go.
Topping the headlines this Friday morning, a survey of dog owners finds half think their pets are picky eaters.
Another reason you shouldn't let your dog watch Food Network.
For sure.
We told you about this previously. Zoom, which encourages companies to use its video conferencing app for remote work, has asked its own remote workers to return to the office.
Clothing manufacturers are excited for the upcoming increase in sales of pants.
Indeed.
As much as half of all Americans have vision problems.
Which finally explains that line in the national anthem, "Oh say, can you see?"
There you go.
I get it now. Police in Thailand rescued a raccoon with its head stuck in a jar of honey.
I once had a similar experience with a bucket of KFC.
I'm with you there, brother.
Some health experts believe that advances in science will eventually enable humans to live decades beyond current age trends.
Even so, it is expected that at age 90, you may feel like Simone Biles, but you'll probably look like Mick Jagger.
Yikes.
Scientists have discovered that the International Space Station is filled with a nasty mix of dust particles, including microplastics.
Coming soon from Procter & Gamble, the Space Swiffer.
I'd buy one.
And finally, this Friday morning, a study suggests that since the early days of mankind, humans have actually been getting less intelligent.
Well, that would explain Illinois.
I love that one.
Those are your headlines, and now you're all caught up. And thank you for joining us here on the WIB Wake Up Show, WWIB, where we are family celebrating 50 years, a big family fun day, 7 food trucks, free concert with Jason Gray, and 513 free and benefiting Hope Village coming 1 week from tomorrow. And Katie Warner joins us from Hope Village. Katie, good morning. Great to have you here.
Good morning, Caleb. Thank you for having me.
So we mentioned before, too, but what is it that you do? Again, you're part of the fundraising team, but also part of the housing search team for Hope Village. Because what some people might not realize is, again, these tiny homes, it's meant to be temporary. It's meant to be transition for those who are unsheltered and help them get to stable housing. Again, there's mentoring. There's a lot of education that goes on helping them find work as well, too. The goal, again, is a community free from homelessness. And that's not just having this temporary housing, but it's also helping people find stable housing.
Yes, exactly. And a lot of people think that, you know, transitional housing means a homeless shelter where maybe people are only there for a night or a week, where a majority of our guests are there, whether it's 6 months to a year.
Yeah.
So during that time that they're there, they are not only mentored, they might be working on some specific things individually, but then it's finding that permanent housing. And I'm sure a lot of people in the public have talked to people who are looking not just for a place to buy, but a place to live, rent, and it's very difficult. And so some of the guests at Hope Village may have things in their background, whether it's an eviction or something like that, where landlords, property management companies, they don't even look at their application.
Yeah.
So it's super hard. So we are here to help them fill out applications because they may have not even applied for housing in 10 years, where things have dramatically changed. Everything's online. You rarely get to talk to a landlord or a property management company. So we're always looking for volunteers to help with this process so people can transition out of the tiny houses and into permanent housing.
We'll touch more on the volunteer opportunities. Again, there's fundraising, there's a capital campaign, but there's always a need for volunteers. But something else that you mentioned off the air I want to make sure we bring out is kind of putting out a call to landlords as well, too, that you can network with, partner with, and who would be willing to say, you know what, we want to give some of these folks that second chance. Whereas you mentioned a lot of landlords might say, I'm not going to even look at that application because of some of those things in the past. But you would love to be able to be connected with landlords who would say, hey, I could help in this way.
Yes, absolutely. It's so important. So whether you are a landlord yourself, you know somebody who is a landlord, or maybe works at a larger property management company, to at least take a look at these applications and not automatically deny them, because they do put on there that they're currently a resident at Hope Village. So a big thing that we are trying to do is spread awareness of what they go through during their time at the tiny house. Again, that's mentoring. They work with a social worker. They're doing so many things so they don't get back into the place of evictions and things like that.
Trying to stop this cycle. So again, it's not a homeless shelter. It's, again, it's a transition that you mentioned. Could be 6 months, could be a year. But with the mentoring and the education, you want to help make sure that this is not something that happens in their life again, facing homelessness. And so I think that brings us to, again, the constant need for volunteers. Of course, there's a need for funds, but the constant need for volunteers who could give even a few hours a week to be part of this.
Absolutely. And whether that is just meeting with people just to be a cheerleader for them, because this is a very difficult time for them. If you imagine if you constantly get let down and you're constantly being denied a place to live, sometimes we just need that motivation just to keep going, or helping them apply for places online. helping them get ready for meeting with landlords in person, because a lot of times it's an interview.
Yeah.
So what questions can they ask landlords and how can they answer the landlord's questions?
Yeah. So again, it doesn't have to be a long time commitment, though I think you may find that when you become part of what Hope Village is doing, you're going to say, you know what, my heart beats for this and I want to be involved more and more. And you, Katie, you've been part of Hope Village for about a year now. What excites you about what's going on? I know there's, again, this capital campaign moving beyond just the tiny homes to actually construct apartments, truly affordable housing as kind of a next step. There's a lot going on. What's exciting to you right now about Hope Village?
Yes, I love that question. I found Hope Village last year from their online newsletter.
Yeah.
And it's been so eye-opening. I could not imagine not having a place to go home to after I get done with work, or after you pick up your kids from school and you don't have a place to go to. And so what they do and how they transition into full-time housing is so important. And when you meet the guests, you will understand that there is a definite need for this.
And again, what's exciting too is there are so many ways to be involved. We're inviting the public out to our 50th anniversary celebration and benefit for Hope Village. Again, Jason Gray, 513 free concert, 7 food trucks, Kevin's juggling balloons, face painting, inflatables, was working out the place for the Spider-Man obstacle course that's going to be there. Just a great day for the community to come and enjoy a day together. And there will be an opportunity as well, if you sign up for the Hope Village newsletter, an opportunity to win a 2-night cabin stay from our friends at Blue Hills Vacation Properties up in Weyerhaeuser. So that brings us finally to the end here, Katie. At Hope Village, your website as well, a great place for people to go to sign up for that newsletter, to learn about volunteer opportunities, just to be updated on all that's going on.
Yes, I would say if you at least just read one newsletter, you will understand and you will want to volunteer.
Well, we're looking forward to that and looking forward to seeing, again, everybody out there 1 week from tomorrow at Riverfront Park in Chippewa Falls, August 26th, 4 to 8 p.m. Katie, great to see you again. Thank you for joining us here on the WIB Wake Up Show.
Awesome. Thank you, Caleb.
Well, it's Friday again as we move towards Focus of the Family, top of the hour. Time for the best of the week.
Well, speaking of lacrosse, we're headed down there right now.
1, 2, 3, 4. Happy birthday, all of us to you. We wish it was our birthday so we could party too.
It's your birthday.
Well, Havel got to say it off the air. I'll say it on the air. Happy birthday to our friend Mike from La Crosse. Good morning, Mike.
How are things in the Cooley region today?
Oh, nice out today. You know, it's going to be a good day for my cookout this afternoon that I'm having. So, I'm thankful for that, and I have a friend that's going to take me out for breakfast this morning, too.
How big a group are you inviting over for your birthday?
Oh, probably about 15 people.
Wow.
Man.
Yeah.
You know how to celebrate.
You're a man of many friends, Mike.
Yep, and I'm going to be 49 today.
Oh, well, happy birthday. And we appreciate how much you love WWIB and some of the kind words you've said about Caleb and I and the WIB Wake Up Show, so... thanks so much for starting your day with us.
Yeah, and I've listened to WWIB ever since Eminem's in the Morning, so it's been years.
That's been a while back, yeah.
Well, helping us celebrate 50 years here of WWIB, one of our great WIB family members, Mike from La Crosse. Mike, have a happy birthday. We love you, man. Today, our Tuesday trivia query is, the average American household used to have 16 of these. The average American household used to have 16 of what? Good morning. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hey, it's Shelly in Chautauqua.
Hey, Shelly, what kind of books?
Cookbooks.
Is it cookbooks? Did the average American household used to have 16 cookbooks? Shelly from Chautauqua?
Yes!
You're a winner. Yes! We got it. Win It Wednesday. And Shelly, you're the winner.
You're a winner.
Yes, the average American household used to have 16 cookbooks. Congratulations, Shelly.
Catwoman from the old Batman TV series. Wow, this is a feel old. Julie Newmar is 90 today, the big 9-0. Happy birthday.
Oh, Catwoman. Catwoman, will you never learn?
When we talk about this matching challenge of $37,050, that is an ongoing effort where a lot of times you are talking by phone, letters, in-person emails with lots of different folks who have created this fund with the express purpose of challenging our WIB listening family to double it or more during just 1 month.
This started in 2008. And it was a single mother that came to me and she said, I got some unexpected money and I listen to WWIB all the time. It's really ministered to my wife, to my life and my son. And I want to give a large gift of $2,000. Could you grow that and come up with something that'll make it grow fast? And I said, well, you mean put it into a CD? She said, oh no, something much faster. And that's when Catch and Match was born, coming up with the idea of trying to double her $2,000 plus other donors who chipped in. And that our first one was $10,000 with 15 listeners. So the heart of a single mom, just so generous to give away money that she could have obviously used for she and her son. And we thank God for her, and that's catapulted us to 2023 and this amount with 27 listeners who have created the larger fund.
And we actually had someone who was hearing us talking with Carol Stewart and said, you know what, I need to give a gift, and gave a gift in memory of her mom, and gave a gift of $100, which during this Catch and Match month becomes $200. Huh. So thank you so much for that generous gift from the Augusta area. And she said in memory of her mom, because she said it was the only station my mom would allow in the house. And she said that's what we were allowed to listen to. And she even shared, you know what, when we were kind of a little rebellious later on in our teenage years, we'd sneak away and listen to other things. But she said, you know what, that legacy that my mom started with us, we came back to the music, the messages of WWIB later on in life, and shared how grateful she was for the station being part of her life.
Well, I believe we've got a couple of different birthdays to acknowledge here this morning.
Yes. So first we found out that it's Joy Hartshorn, her birthday today. Your daddy Mark sent that in. Happy birthday to you, Joy. Hope it's an absolutely wonderful day. And speaking of Joy, it gives me joy to wish a very happy third birthday to my nephew, Dewey, who loves listening to WWB. And Dewey, love you so much, and so happy to be able to celebrate your birthday. And man, I'm guessing he's going to be driving around on his tractor today. Dewey loves tractors.
Nothing better than riding around on your tractor.
Yes, indeed. Get on your tractor and ride.